Oh, shut up.
Two more weeks and then the Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl's in 2 weeks or it'll be over?
No. The Super Bowl's the first week in
February. I think.
Yeah. So we got about 3 more weeks.
Two more weekends of play. It's not
together.
We're still on Luke 8:25, where Jesus says, "Where is your faith?" So we're looking at faith for the first time in a long time. We studied a lot about faith in terms of chapter 11 of Hebrews. Now we're going to look at some of the... Do you have there the last scripture we studied?
Acts 17, 22 through 31.
Okay. So, we're looking at faith, and it's the word pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S in the Greek. So let's go to Romans 10. This is an extremely important one. Let's just start in verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now, this is important in terms of understanding when this was written. This was written in... Well, about 10 years before the temple was destroyed in AD 70. Are you here, Mr. Buckner?
Yeah, I was looking at verse 3. Starting
it up. The temple was still standing. The offerings and the sacrifices were still being made daily. And so when his prayer for the Jews, that they might be saved, had everything to do with the temple and the sacrifice. Because they still had a zeal of God, in other words, they were doing all of the sacrifices and the various offerings every day. And each aspect had a potential of them seeing the mystery of God, seeing Christ in those sacrifices. Now, when the temple was destroyed, excuse me, then the Jews that really understood the mystery, that didn't understand Christ, Judaism was over. There could be no Judaism without the temple. And so it was in other words, Israel's possibility of being saved by seeing Christ in the offerings and in the various feast days and the artifices of the temple, that was over in AD 70. And so what happened? How did the Jews justify their existence? The Pharisees invented a non-scriptural form of Judaism. Oh, man. It was called synagogue Judaism as opposed to temple Judaism. Now, this is extremely controversial, obviously. But according to the law of God, there cannot be Judaism without the temple. And nobody really takes a look at this. There can only be Judaism if Messiah is here or if the temple is here. There can't be Judaism without the temple, according to the law. Now, can you see that this has massive implications?
Well, they attempted to add a law. Or
well, they attempted to do the same thing Christians do.
Anybody would do this.
Or anybody does. The mind does.
So synagogue Judaism was invented before the destruction of the temple?
Well, sort of, but not widespread. I mean, there. They had synagogues in the various places around the world, but the in order for them not to be cut off from the people, the men had to, between those certain ages, they had to go to Jerusalem and celebrate those feasts. If they didn't celebrate the feasts, they were cut off from the people. If they didn't meet the Sabbath, they were cut off from the people. If they didn't make the sin offering, they were cut off from the people. If they didn't make the trespass offering, they were cut off from the people. I mean, you understand?
That was regular Judaism.
That's temple Judaism.
Temple. Then when the synagogue came in, they cut a whole lot out because they couldn't do it anymore.
Well, they invented a new religion that has nothing to do with the scriptures called synagogue Judaism. The same way Christianity has invented a Christianity that doesn't require your death. Synagogue Judaism and Christianity are both the same because they're both waiting for Messiah. And so, for the true believers, then for them, Messiah is come, so therefore there is Judaism. Am I communicating or am I just babbling?
Maybe babbling, but I get it.
Everybody understand this?
It's interesting that this synagogue Judaism, people bought it.
Well, because they didn't. This,
you know. It still exists. It's interesting.
Well, of course. I mean, that's the people don't pay any attention. They just.
But the leaders decide.
Now, to say that synagogue Judaism and Christianity are the same, that's you get killed for that. By both people. Now, what does this have to do with faith? It has everything to do with faith. Because without that faith, it's manifested as according to the law, there's no salvation. You're
well, I'm thinking Jesus stood in the middle of both of them. It's like had this perfect religion that shows him completely, and then he comes, and I don't see him, and then afterwards they create a new religion where he's still left out. And so
faith, yeah, the thought of him isn't left out, but the faith of him is left out.
Yeah, the faith being him,
right.
The of him faith is eliminated, and that makes it.
Okay, so let's, so now, that's what we're studying in Romans 10, when Paul says, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. The temple was still standing. It was possible. Okay? For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law. Now, what does it mean to say he is the end of the law? It means the law isn't gone. That's what effectively people say. Right? but he is the fulfillment of the law. The law didn't go away. Every jot and tittle of the law must be fulfilled in him, by us, and by him, by anybody. Otherwise, because the law is spiritual. But he is the fulfillment of the law. But only if he is your life. If he is not your life, and you're separate from him, then you're no different than synagogue Judaism. If you're still trying to establish your own righteousness, if you're still gadding about to change yourself, then Christ died in vain for you. Because you still have kept yourself alive. All right. For Moses described, for Christ is the end of the law, for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Believeth is another word, it's pistis. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. Now what does that mean? If you're going to take and live by any aspect of the law, you have to live by all the law. You can't pick and choose which aspects of the law you're going to fulfill. If you do, then by definition, you must rank sin. And you will rank sin automatically in order that you can have an idea that you have some righteousness. That you're right about something. So in other words, you've kept yourself alive. The evil one has raised his head, he's raised from the deadly head wound in you. What?
Look at this righteousness thing. It's like a powerful drug. And it's so compelling that you'll kill to get some.
All right. But the righteousness which is of faith, that's the only righteousness. The righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? And again, it's much more powerful in Greek. It says, say not even in your heart, not even the slightest bit of who's saved or who isn't saved. Why? Well, mainly because it's none of your business, but secondly, it's you're still then at trying to establish your own righteousness. Because if someone isn't saved and you believe you are, then by definition, you've gone about to establish your own righteousness. So all these people that ask, well, is he redeemed? Is he saved? That's none of their business. And the only reason they do it is so that they can have a sense of their own, that they're better than somebody. What? Get it? John?
Perfectly.
I figured.
How about like Benny Hinn?
How about like a pile of horse shit? What's the difference?
Benny said
it's none of your business. Nor mine. It's neither one of our business.
Norma.
It's not our mine. Business.
Norma.
Say what?
Yeah, Norma's saved. All right, listen carefully now. The righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not even in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up again. Bring up Christ again from the dead. Now, in a lot of the ancient manuscripts, and I'm not sure whether it was the original or not, but what it says in the second one, who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead, and then a parenthetical expression, as though you could be saved by your own works.
I never understood that sentence.
Do you now?
Well, I like the addition a lot, but I don't see how saying who's going to hell, I suppose that's what it is.
That
brings Christ up from the dead. In other words, he's not still preaching to the dead.
It's hard to make these long.
Right. Then, so, but remember, we're talking about the righteousness which is of faith. That's the so. So this is that, but what saith it? What saith the righteousness which is of faith? You understand? That's because of the predicate of it. The word is nigh, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is, and the word heart there is cardia. It doesn't mean necessarily heart. It means in your inner being. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Now, again, remember, this doesn't mean you run around saying Jesus exists or anything. Confess is the word homologio. And to confess means to say the same thing as the Word. To say the same thing as Jesus.
But that doesn't mean you go around and speak the red words.
No. I mean, it means that you have to, in order for you to say the same thing, you have had to see the same thing. In order for you to have seen the same thing, you must have heard the same thing. Remember, that's how we're constructed. What we hear is what we see. What we see is what we do. That's why it says, when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You're really gelling this morning. What's going on? Right, not forth-telling.
Right, and you might say something really stupid, and the mind will judge it stupid, say, well, that couldn't be from God. And so if you're going to use your mind to judge what's going on, you're screwed.
Right, let's go on here, because now it gets big. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart or in thy inner being that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So it's all about resurrection. But the location of the resurrection is what's so critical. Remember, it's only the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, that can say Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. The Antichrist confesses he will come, and he did come. But only the Spirit of God can confess that he is come in the flesh. That's, and again, this is mind-bendingly critical. Now, that's enough for there. Let's talk about, let's go to 2 Timothy real quick. So that's, in all that we just studied, that's the meaning, that's again, pistis is the meaning of faith. We looked at it in John, it's the meaning of surrender, it's the meaning of assurance. Now we're going to look at 2 Timothy a minute. Chapter or something or other. This is a this is one of those passages that it's one of the first things that I read after that conversion experience when I was trying to prove everything wrong. It still does in many ways. It makes me cry. I mean, the majesty of what we're about to read. In verse starting chapter 2, verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. For it is a faithful saying, if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Now, for me, at that time, the idea that he could not deny himself, it blew my mind. Because it meant that I knew I was a screw-up. But he cannot deny himself. He always abideth. And the word there for faithful isn't the word. It's another word that means consistent. He never changes. And the word for faith in this passage is believe. If we believe not, if we have a pistis, yet he abideth faithful. He abideth consistently, for he cannot deny himself. Now, I can deny myself. Now, the word, remember, to deny him doesn't mean you deny Christ not by saying he doesn't exist. You deny Christ by saying you exist. You can believe in a Christ that's out there and believe that, and you can say that I exist and I'm second. Do you understand how mind-bendingly important the understanding of the Trinity is? Most people have no understanding of the Trinity because they don't believe in the Trinity, they believe in the quartet. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and me. It's not. You're not there. It's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I'm gone. I never existed. I'd always been a lie. I always had lived a lie. I'd always been a vessel for deity. But the wrong deity, the God of this world. And he's been masquerading as me all those years. For some of you, he's still masquerading as you. And you're still trying to get it right. You're still thinking you're improving. It's gone. It's gone. Boom. You've never existed. It's only been, you've been a vessel for either the instead of Christ or Christ. Everything about Gary, everything about Sue, everything about every one of us that we think of, what we are, who we are, we have invented. You know, it's a lie. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Amen?
Amen.
I don't feel like talking anymore. Anybody have any response to any of this? Can't be anything else. Remember, there's a scripture. Let's go there. We'll go real quickly. Go to 1 John, I think. Yeah. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 12. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we. In this world. As he is, not as he was, as he is, so are we in this world. But you have to be gone. Amen? We'll talk about mustard seeds and a bunch of other stuff tomorrow. If the Lord delays, I sure wish he wouldn't delay.
You going to see Dr. Cole today?
I don't feel like driving out there. I don't know what I'll do.
You want someone else to drive?
No, it's just a pain. Oh, take a big guy.